Okay, we're talking about the circumcision of Christ and the covenants of God.
And what
we were saying is physical circumcision, it removes that piece of flesh that is useless. And that flesh that is removed is covering a very sensitive piece of anatomy beneath it. But this relates to the spiritual circumcision also. The heart of man is incredibly sensitive part of the soul of man. It can be easily bruised, cut, pricked, torn, or even just touched. This is the way that God made it. He made our hearts to be sensitive. Sensitive towards Him and the ways of His Spirit. The problem is our hearts are often covered by a useless piece of flesh that inhibits its sensitivity and dulls our hearts. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 4. The prophet says, "Circumcise yourselves to the Lord." And remove the foreskins of your heart, or else my wrath will go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it because of the evil of your deeds. God is saying to them and to us, get rid of that flesh that dulls the sensitivity of our hearts. The flesh that is wrapped around our hearts because of our evil deeds. There is a direct connection between sin, evil deeds, and an uncircumcised heart. We have an uncircumcised heart because we love to sin. Sin deadens the spiritual sensitivity of our hearts. And the more we give in to sin, the duller our hearts become. For example, the first time we sin, say we steal something, our conscience pricks us and we become bothered and unsettled. But then we justify our sin because we like to get stuff. So we ignore the voice of our conscience, and then it starts to become easier to steal. Especially if we can say, well, God is love and He won't judge me. And very quickly our hearts become very dulled by walking in sin. This is how someone becomes a very bad and wicked sinner. They never start that way, they always start with the small things. But then they accept the small thing and they go on to bigger things. And sin is never satisfied. And it goes worse and it goes worse until eventually we are a terrible sinner. The people of this world, they love their sins. The testimony of God is that we are hopelessly lost in sin. If you to listen to people in the world, they say, oh, mostly we are good, there's just a few bad people here and there. And usually they think it's the people over there, not the people themselves. But the Bible says something very different. Romans 3 verses 10 to 12. There is none righteous. Not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. Not even one. That's a very depressive statement from the Bible. You don't have that on many positive confession cards, do you? Let's quote Romans 3 verse 10 this morning. But the people of this world are unable to hear the truth of God. They are quite literally in darkness, without any sensitivity to God and to His ways. Because they have uncircumcised hearts. They have uncircumcised ears. They have uncircumcised eyes. They cannot see, they cannot hear, they cannot perceive. If God, if you give people freedom, some people say this. Give people the freedom to choose, and most people will choose the right thing. All you need to do is educate people. Treat people like adults and not like children. And eventually most people will choose the right thing. The Bible teaches the opposite. It says if a man has an opportunity to sin, he will probably sin. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 20, it says, so this I say, and affirm together with the Lord. 4, verses 17 to 20. So this I say and affirm with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their minds, being darkened in their understanding, and excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their hearts. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality and the practice of every kind of impurity. But you did not learn Christ in this way. Everyone in this world is trapped in a prison of sin that darkens their heart and dulls their conscience and separates them from the life of God that is in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter if they're the most intelligent man on the planet. They are still ignorant with spiritual matters. They are darkened in their spiritual understanding. They are uncircumcised people. And whilst they are trapped in this prison of darkness, there is often a different level as to which amount of darkness they have gone to. Some are very bold in their sin, and they cast off all restraint. We're seeing this more and more in the West, where sin has become socially acceptable to society. And you see people acting and dressing and behaving in a very ungodly manner. Because sin has become acceptable. It's like the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, where the two angels came to Sodom. And the men of the city, they came to the door of the house. And they said, "Give us these men that we may have relations with them." They had no sense that there was anything wrong in it. And they were so fast bound in their sin that the angel struck them with blindness. And even though they were still blind, they still searched for the door of the house. They were so far gone in their sin. They had no concept at all that they were walking in darkness. This is the level to which we're getting to today in society. People are casting off all restraint. We are sinners, darkened in our understanding. And unless the Spirit circumcises our hearts, cuts away the flesh that surrounds it, we will remain lost in our sins. We cannot circumcise ourselves. We are all helpless sinners in need of His grace. We have a hymn in England called "And Can It Be?" I don't know if you have it here, but I'll just quote a few of the words in that verse. It says, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. So it's talking about that my spirit is fast bound in a prison which I cannot escape, in darkness. But thine eye diffused or a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and I followed thee." That's how God saves us. We are fast bound in a prison of sin and darkness. We don't have the key, we cannot get out unless His eye diffuses a quickening ray. Unless the light of Christ shines upon us. And it's when the light of Christ shines upon us that we see the darkness in our hearts. And we realize what a sinner we are. And we rise up and we follow Him. So many times you speak to someone about Jesus, and it's like you're talking to a wall. Your words just don't penetrate. Why is that? Because their hearts and their ears are uncircumcised. In Matthew 13, verses 14 to 16, Jesus said, "You will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they can hardly hear. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see. I would rather have that they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear." If Jesus was standing here today, maybe He would say the same thing to you. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, because they hear. For I tell you that many righteous men and kings wanted to see the things you see, and did not see them. We see the same principle in the first chapter of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. We see an old creation and a new creation. An earthy creation and a heavenly creation. A heavenly body and an earthly body. The whole of the creation story is a literal historical account. But it is also a type and a shadow of what is to come in the new creation in Christ. A type of living parable meant to teach us today what we are like before we get saved, then how we get saved, then how we work out that salvation in our lives. The whole process of the new creation within us. So how does the scripture describe us before the light shines upon us? The Bible says the earth was formless and void. A waste and emptiness. Darkness is over our hearts and our soul and our spirit. Does this not accurately describe mankind today? When the light of Christ has not shone into society, isn't our history dotted and plagued at every turn with wickedness? Hatred, misery, selfish ambition, and violence. We are not evolving into a human utopia. Rather than evolving, we are devolving. We are getting worse and worse. We are formless and void, and darkness is over the surface of the deep. In John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21, the word says, "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, does not come to the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifest as having been wrought by God." We don't like to get spiritually circumcised, because God tends to show himself holy through those that draw near to him. And the more the flesh gets cut away in our hearts, the more sensitive we become to his Holy Spirit. And this starts to make us more and more uncomfortable with sin. And things you used to be okay with 5 years ago are no longer okay now. But into the darkness a light shone that eventually gave light to every man. Nothing of the creation that God was forming could grow. Nothing could exist before the light shone. This was the first thing that had to happen on day one of creation. Before anything on the earth could grow, before anything in our lives can grow, before anything can bear fruit in our lives, the light of Christ must first shine into our troubled, uncircumcised souls and enlighten our waste and emptiness within. What was this light that shone on the day one of creation? Was it the sun? Most people think when God said, "Let there be light," He was creating the sun. Can anyone tell me when the sun was created? Which day? It was created on day four. The sun and the moon were created. The sun was created on day four to reflect the reality of the spiritual light that was already shining. A light that was spoken by God into the physical world in which we live. What was that light? John chapter 1. Verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were created through Him. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. There it was. The true light that gives light to every man. Coming into the world. What was the light that God spoke on the day one of creation? Who is the light of the world? Who is the Word of God? What was the first word God spoke? Light be. And light was. That doesn't mean Jesus was formed then. Jesus was the light of the world from the beginning. But this was the moment that Jesus, the light of the world, was introduced into our universe. And Him who was the Word of God became revealed as the light of the world. The light shone in the darkness. And so began the forming of a new creation that was fruitful, abundant, rich, delightful to the eye, good for food, blessed of God, and very good in His eyes. The paradise of God on earth. That is God's plan for you and for me. God did not save us for the purpose of just getting us into heaven by the skin of our teeth. He didn't try and get as many people into heaven as many as He can. The purpose of salvation is to form the new creation of God in our hearts. Jesus said, "My Father is working and I also am working." But I thought God rested on the day seven. No, my father is at work. What is he working on? His building project. Forming Christ in you. Forming Christ in me. Circumcising your eyes, circumcising your ears. Circumcising your heart. Making you more and more into the image of His Son. The purpose of salvation is to form the new creation of God in our hearts. To replace the formlessness and void and emptiness with the new creation of God that is fruitful, abundant, rich, delightful to His eyes, nourishing to those around us. Blessed of God, very good in His eyes. Literally a paradise of God on the earth. In a broken and dark and evil world. In a crooked and perverse generation. Among whom you appear as lights in the world. You shine like stars in the universe. Holding fast to the word of life. That's Philippians 2 verses 14-16. As we hold fast to the words of life. As we allow His word to shine upon us. Exposing the wickedness of our hearts as necessary. As we allow God to cut out that flesh that covers and desensitizes our hearts, we will stand out in a crooked and depraved generation as true children of the light. But what does it say about the light? It says that God saw that the light was good. When Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan, the light had come into the world. John said that we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And as He came out of the waters, the Spirit descended upon Him as a dove. And God said, "This is my beloved Son. With Him I am well pleased." God saw that the light was good. But what did God do then? He separated the light from the darkness. There's coming a day when God is going to separate the sons of the light from the sons of the darkness. At the moment, they tend to live together. Seems every church has sons of the light and sons of the darkness. Sometimes we call them the wheat and the tares. They look the same from the outside. But some are good and nutritious inside. And some are poisonous. There are the sons of the light and the sons of the darkness. And when Jesus returns, He's going to shine His light. And He's going to see those who are His. In every church there is a separating line. And some are going to be on His right. And some are going to be on His left. And many of those who are on His left will say, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in Your name? Did we not do many miracles in Your name? Did we not cast out many demons in Your name?" And what will He say to them? "Depart from me. I never knew you. You who delight in lawlessness." You see, there is a lawlessness taking hold in churches today. where people say, we're not under law anymore, I'm under grace. But that's a cheap grace. That's a grace that obliges me nothing. The Bible says you are under a law. It's the law of the Spirit. It's the royal law according to the commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And because you do that, you will also love your neighbor as yourself. When Jesus returns to see who are the children of the light and who are the children of the darkness, he's going to say, you say you're a child of the light. Let me see now. Show me the evidence. I was hungry. Did you give me something to eat? I was thirsty. Did you give me something to drink? I was in prison. I was naked. Did you clothe me? I was sick. Did you visit me? They'll say, when, Lord? When did we ever see you sick and in prison and all these things? And he would say, as much as you did not do it for the least of my brethren, you did not do it for me. Are you living according to the law of Christ? Are you laying down your life for the sake of your brothers? Do you pastor your church for your own ends, or do you do it for the sake of the sheep? Is your whole purpose as a pastor to feed your sheep? To tend your sheep, to look after them. To see those who are sick and try and help them. To bind up the brokenhearted. To tend to those who are straying. Bring them back to the fold. To deal with the flock as necessary. Or like so many pastors today. Do you use the flock for your own benefit? Like the wicked shepherds of Ezekiel 34. It says, with force and oppression they dominate the sheep. But God says of such shepherds, I will remove such shepherds. We don't want God to come to us and remove us, do we? When Jesus returns, we want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a small matter. I will now put you in charge of many things. Hallelujah. God calls us to be children of the light. But if we're children of the light, the Bible says, have nothing to do with the fruitful deeds of darkness. If you're harboring darkness in your heart, now let the light of Christ shine on that. Deal with it. Let God circumcise your heart. Circumcision. Oh, let me read. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 to 11. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Do you see how the Apostle Paul is drawing upon the creation account? He's saying the same God who shone light into darkness back then is now the one doing exactly the same thing into our hearts. And he's shining the light of Jesus into our formless void hearts. To give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this Garden of Eden, the paradise of God in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness will be of God, not of ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in our body the dying of Jesus. So that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal bodies. Hallelujah. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. God will allow you to be struck down. He will allow you to be afflicted and persecuted. But he will not allow you to be forsaken. He will not allow you to be destroyed. He will always provide a way for you to rescue you. Circumcision of the heart is a painful process. It must be carried out by the great physician. It removes that useless flesh that desensitizes our hearts. Our old man being cut away bit by bit. And replaced by the new man which is growing up within us. Which in the image of God is being created in true righteousness and holiness of the truth. This begins at conversion, but is then a process the Holy Spirit will undertake in our lives. Right until our pilgrimage ends, either at the rapture or the return of Christ. God will put you into situations you never thought it possible to go through, and probably didn't think you'd ever make it through unless God had made a way for you. But Jesus is called the way. He is the way. And all this is for the purpose of delivering us over to death for Jesus' sake. So that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our physical bodies. That our rotten flesh may be cut away. And that with the new creation may be formed in us. The Bible says, he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. He now no longer lives his physical life for the pursuit of lusts. Because God has circumcised that man. We must allow God to continue circumcising us today. Outworking that circumcision in our lives. And as he does so, the paradise of God, that treasure in earthen vessels, will be formed in us. As Christ is formed in us, may we be found complete in Christ at his coming. But there's a warning in Scripture. Don't be like the Israelites of old. Remember in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, Stephen, when he stood before the Sanhedrin, the most religious leaders of their day, and he just told them what they were. You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You are doing just as your fathers did. Are any of us resisting the Holy Spirit today? Have we looked upon the sinfulness of our hearts? But instead of dealing with it, we've concealed it. Much easier to cover it up instead. If we do this, and we continue to ignore the voice of the Spirit, we will start to become uncircumcised. Just like the Israelites 2,000 years ago. We run the risk of becoming spiritually dull. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples, "Are you still so dull?" What was he talking about? Was he talking about their natural intelligence? No, he was talking about their spiritual attitude. The book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verses 12 to 15, talking to Christians. He says, "Take care, brethren, that there not be any one of you with an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. May there not be anyone among you, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." You know, you can become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin seems so attractive on the outside. Sin says to you, "Don't worry, it's only a small thing." But it's the small foxes that destroy the grain. You can be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. "For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance, firm until the end. While it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." That is a word for you today. Today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. If you do, you'll be like the Israelites of old. Fell in the wilderness. Doesn't matter if you're a pastor, a bishop, an archbishop, or a pope. Hold on to your faith. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. If we listen to his voice, if we walk by the Spirit, allow him to discipline us, allow him to mold us, then we will have circumcised ears and a circumcised heart, and we will have ears that hear what the Spirit is speaking to the church, and we will have a heart that can turn to him, be healed, and be saved. Amen. Thank you, Lord.